In addition, a chemist called Glenn Seaborg, who was employed on the most secret mission of them all, the Manhattan Project, wrote in his diary, "As I was making the rounds of the laboratory rooms this morning, I was suddenly struck by a disturbing vision of the workers in the radium dial painting industry. Atomic bomb making involved widespread use of radioactive plutonium, and he realized at once that similar hazards faced those working on the project. Seaborg insisted that research be undertaken into plutonium. It was found to be biomedically very similar to radium, meaning it would settle into the bones of anyone exposed to it. The Manhattan Project issued non-negotiable safety guidelines to its workers, based directly on the radium safety standards. Seaborg was determined that the women's ghosts would not be joined by those of his colleagues who were working to win the war." After the Allies had triumphed, helped by the deployment of those very atomic bombs that the Manhattan Project built, the debt the country owed to the Radium Girls was acknowledged in full. An official of the US Atomic Energy Commission, AEC, wrote, "If it hadn't been for those dial painters, the Manhattan Project's management could have reasonably rejected the extreme precautions that were urged on it, and thousands of workers might well have been, and might still be, in great danger." The women had been, officials said, invaluable. Even after the war was over, the dial painter's legacy continued to save lives as the world entered the age of atomic energy. "We were going to live in an era of plutonium," infused one man who grew up in 1950s America. "We'd have plutonium cars, planes. It was infinite." The large-scale production of radioactive materials seemed inevitable. "In the foreseeable future," wrote the Consumers League, "millions of workers may be affected by ionizing radiations." The League was right. Almost immediately, however, it became clear that it was not just employees in the new atomic industries who were at risk. The whole planet was. Less than 5 years after the Second World War ended, the nuclear arms race began. Over the next decade, hundreds of above-ground atomic tests were conducted across the globe. Each blast, mushroom-clouding bomb debris into the sky, eventually resulted in radioactive fallout drifting back to Earth, landing not only on the test site, but raining down upon fields of green grass, wheat, and cereal, through which the radioactive isotopes in the fallout entered the human food chain. Just like radium had done in the dial painters, these isotopes, especially a particularly dangerous, newly created one called strontium-90, began to deposit in human bones. "Every one of us," wrote the Consumers League in alarm, "is a potential victim." The AEC dismissed the concerns. The risks, it said, were very small when compared to the terrible future we might face if we fell behind in our nuclear defence effort. Yet their words were not sufficient to calm the troubled public. After all, the radium dial painter's agony had alerted the world to the hazards of internal radiation. "They serve as a warning," railed the Consumers League, "of the results of carelessness and ignorance, a cloud on the horizon no larger than a man's hand."